Welcome to Books and Beyond with your host, Alison. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in a library, yeah.
No mai, haere mai, kia ora, and welcome to Books and Beyond with Alison and Inika. And today we are celebrating Diwali, the Festival of Lights. So kia ora, Inika, and namaste.
Namaste, Alison. Thanks for having me.
It's really good to be here in this lovely time of year. Diwali, it's a really joyful time of the year, and it's a religious and a secular time, but I kind of think that, like most festivals these days, the sort of secular or more cultural events shine through brightly. And then in a way this is really good because it means that the entire community can get involved.
Yeah, especially this year in Auckland. I know that it was a little bit touch and go whether the big regional events and activities would be running, but
that's right.
They've actually pulled together a beautiful program, so yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, I'm really pleased for them actually that the program can go ahead, and it always focuses on family, food, culture and the sense of contemplation.
Yes, that's right.
And so that's why we were sort of thinking today, weren't we, that we'd focus on the contemplation side of things, and then we were going to look at some popular books by Indian authors who are writing all around the world.
Yeah, sounds really good to me.
Yeah. So, look, this week I've been reading, it's one that I've been wanting to read for a while, and it's a really fun title, and it's called Life Isn't All Ha Ha He He, and it's by the wonderful writer and personality Meera Syal.
Oh, yes.
She's great, isn't she?
She is wonderful. She's such a multi-talented person, isn't she?
Yes.
So she was a scriptwriter originally, wasn't she?
Yes, that's right. And and they're known on stage and screen.
That's right.
Really. And she's a comic. She's
Listeners might remember Meera Syal best for her roles in the BBC series Goodness Gracious Me from the early 90s. And then she kind of took it a step further, and she was she both wrote and acted in The Kumars at number 42 in the 90s.
And then I think the second iteration of that was, I think it was called At Home with the Kumars, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and which was hilarious. And
she was so good at it. She was the grandmother, wasn't she? So she was playing a lot older than you know, really naughty grandmother.
Yes. Oh, she was wonderful. I'm sure her acting as the grandmother has influenced other comics and actors as well.
Yeah, it definitely had that subversive feel.
Yes.
It's been taken further by people like, L.E.G. And,
yes, that's right.
Who's the other one? Borat.
Yes.
And those sorts of ones. Yeah.
Absolutely. So she's kind of acting and comic royalty, really, I think, isn't she?
In the UK? Yeah, definitely.
So she's a great woman. We really love her. So now this book, Life Isn't All Ha Ha He He, it was originally released in 1999, so we are going back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this was also made into a TV series.
Oh, right.
So, but, you know, even though we're saying it's 20 years, really, that it came out, I still found the story quite fresh and witty, and I would say still relevant. I guess the biggest thing I notice when I read it is the absence of social media in the story. So the characters aren't always on Insta and, you know, that sort of thing, which actually is quite quite refreshing.
It is refreshing, isn't it?
But apart from the lack of social media, it's still a really sort of thoroughly modern tale.
Cool.
It follows a tight-knit group of Indian women who are living in London, and they're childhood friends. They've grown up together, and they've had all, you know, as you, those who are lucky enough to still have their school friends, you've been through so much together, the embarrassments and the joys and heartbreaks and, you know, and all the naughty things you've done together. and so these three women, they're just fabulous. They're really caught between two cultures. So they've got the expectation that they'll have successful careers and, you know, you've got to get a PhD and all of that sort of thing. But at the same time, you've got to be an obedient wife and mother and daughter because you've still got your parents and, you know, your husband and that sort of thing.
Very much in the mix, yeah.
Yeah. And it's very sort of London based too. So a lot of people will recognise parts of their own lives in it.
Oh, cool.
And, but the real drama happens when one of these amazing women decides to make a documentary about contemporary urban life. And this is where their life kind of, I don't know whether you'd say explodes or implode, but anyway, it just blows up. And because you get betrayals, infidelities, divided loyalties, it all sort of comes into the mix.
It sort of exposes some of these things.
Yes.
It all gets captured on camera.
Yeah, and some truths come out. Do you know, it's a really touching story, but it's hilarious in parts. It's a really good read. Now, it came out at about roughly the same time as the Bridget Jones Diary Helen Fielder. It's of that era. And a lot of reviewers have compared the two together. So they are, so it is in that vein.
Yeah, of that late 90s English life.
Yes,
yeah.
And the, you know, you've got sort of career women who so successful but think they're not, and, you know, imposter syndrome and terrible social faux pas and that sort of thing. But, it's hilarious.
Quite relatable, it sounds
Yes, I loved it.
That sounds really good.
Hey, and Linda, I was going to tell you about the other one that I'd read it again recently. Now, this is on a much more serious note, and it's relatively recently published. It's called Girls Burn Brighter, and it's by Shoba Rao. And do you know, this is one of the best books I've ever read, would say, in my whole life.
Far out.
And it's one that I think it will stay with me forever. And it's one that I've read it a couple of times, and I feel as though I could read it again because I'll get more and more out of it. It's her debut novel, and because she is still quite young, I think she's in her 30s, so a relatively young writer. And the novel's set mainly in India, actually in Hyderabad, which is a very interesting city. But then part of the story then takes place in North America. But I rave about this book. I can't speak highly enough about it. It's very sort of searing, like a hot, you know, electric sort of, it's electrifying, I suppose, is the way to describe it. And she tackles a lot of the issues that are facing women today, and I guess particularly women in South Asia. Domestic violence, you've got poverty, human trafficking, migration. And this really hit me, this sort of massive desire to immigrate to the United States.
Strong pull.
Strong. But although, curiously, it starts off in a very small village, a few hours inland from Hyderabad, the big city. So you've got this huge desire to get, we've got to get to the big city, we've got to get to Hyderabad. But then once you're there, we've got to get to the US.
The next big milestone.
Yes. I don't know where you go after that. Maybe you then go, we've got to come to New Zealand.
That's right. Might get a bit more of that in the weeks to come.
It's probably another story, isn't it? But it's also, it's about a friendship between two young women, and they meet when they're working in a very poverty-stricken village, but they're in a cottage industry where they work a loom to make saris.
Okay.
And even her writing about making or about working the loom, it's beautiful, and it just makes you really want to think about the those beautiful fabrics.
Oh, absolutely. It must be such intricate work too.
Oh, yes. And it's often done by pretty much children.
Really?
Working it. Yeah. It just... I'm a bit lost for words, which is unlike me. But so you've got really vivid descriptions, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the tastes, and that sense of place, which I think is what I really love about Indian authors, the way you get all the senses.
Oh, really sensory.
Yeah. And there's some devastatingly cruel stuff that happens to one of the young women, but it sets them off on a journey. So I guess you could call this a coming-of-age novel too, but it really asks that question that how far would you go to help your best friend, and would you sacrifice everything?
For the two journey together?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just can't speak highly enough of this book.
So good.
It's a must read.
I've spotted it around because I really need to get this on my to-be read list. Mm. It sounds like I need to get it right up the top.
Yeah, it's great.
And published 2018, so
yes.
Hopefully that means if you are interested in this one that you'll be able to get a copy fairly quickly if you put it on your request list.
Yeah, because it's just off the burner, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
The
boiler. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, really good. Yeah. Well, I have to say, Alison, I'm a little bit behind the eight ball when it comes to this week's Diwali theme. I'm not going to lie. Just one of those 2020 things, I guess.
Well, look, everything's crept up on us this year, hasn't it?
It really has.
Oh, we've got months to go until
that's right.
The next festival. And,
that's right. It sort of fell off my radar a little bit, and I was sort of focused on my to-be-read list over the weekend, trying to knock a few off that pile. And among others, I actually did get that Samantha Irby essay collection read last week. So the one which is called We Are Never Meeting in Real Life. I tell you what, it was so worth the wait. I've been waiting on it since the lockdown because it's a bit older, but it's still really popular. But so I really needed to knuckle it down because it was heading off to the next person. I tell you what, it turned me into that person on the bus who's sort of laughing like a drain and everyone's kind of looking at them sideways and doesn't want to sit next to them. Particularly about halfway in, there was a really, really sort of, grabby essay, which was recounting her first lesbian sexual encounters with the woman who actually becomes her wife, we find out later in the book. And it was in pretty super graphic, hilarious detail, yeah. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but I did read it, how you read things with the half-closed pages so no one can sort of read over your shoulder and see what you're laughing at and blushing about. Well, that's the Catholic guilt of me.
Yes, I can relate. I can.
Yeah, but if you need a bit of a laugh, I would really, really recommend picking this one up. It really, really paid off. Amongst all the lols, she is actually really honest about what it's like to be her. She actually lives with multiple chronic illnesses. Mm. So she has Crohn's, she has sort of early onset arthritis. She's only 35.
Oh.
And she's lives with high anxiety, which she manages that with her medication, but, it can take her by surprise as well. And she had pretty rough childhood, childhood in poverty. So I'd say definitely put this one on your list again, if you haven't already, from my last one. You do need to have a high tolerance for swearing and sex and scatological content, which luckily I do.
Oh, that's bullshit. Yes.
Well, to get me back on track for the last week of Diwali coming up, I thought I might shine a little light on a book that I really enjoyed reading a couple of years ago. And I'll also share a couple of to-be-reads that I've picked up just recently from Indian authors. So my first one, which I have actually read, is The Windfall by Diksha Basu. This was published in 2017, and you can find it in our adult fiction collection and also on Overdrive and Libby as an ebook. So The Windfall, as the title suggests, is looking at how life can change, both for better and for worse, when one comes into a good chunk of money unexpectedly. Oh. So in The Windfall, we're looking at our hard-working couple, the Jars, and it happens quite late in life for them after Mr. Jar creates a website that ends up going gangbusters and getting incredibly popular, and he manages to sell it for a really high profit, something he would never have expected in his earlier years. So when they make this money, he and his wife waste no time. They move from their long-standing familiar East Delhi housing complex, which is quite downhill, and it's crowded with friends and neighbours who really get up in their business at all times. You can't really get away with anything in this complex. Everyone's next door. To a big standalone house in the wealthy district just outside of Delhi called Gurgaon.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Apparently this district, it's often called the Millennial City. I'm not entirely sure why, but it's recently been renamed Gurugram. Yeah, so if you're looking it up and you want to see a Pluti neighbourhood in Delhi, look up Gurugram. So when Mr. Jar and his wife move in, they almost immediately meet their new neighbours, the Chopras. And Mr. Jar and Mr. Chopra immediately kind of, they make a connection, but it also becomes a bit of a rivalry straight off the bat. So
is that kind of like a keeping up with the Chopras?
Yes, it's keeping up with the Chopras. And it's not easy because the Chopras, although Mr. and Mrs. Jar have come into this big money, the Chopras are another level up.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe another couple levels up. So there becomes this sort of like, yeah, as you say, there's a bit of a rival going on, and Mr. Jar's immediately kind of trying to do the next step of social climbing while having only just got on the ladder, really. At the same time as he's trying to impress the neighbours, he's also putting on new airs and putting his old friends' noses out of joint, sometimes accidentally and sometimes on purpose. Yeah, so there's also a second strand to the story, which is following the Jar's son, Rupak, who's studying for an MBA in New York. Now, he's keeping secrets from his parents. He's actually failing his courses because he's fallen in love with an American woman, and he's pretty sure that he really couldn't take this one home to mother. So he's got this secret relationship going on the side, and there's another woman in the mix who is kind of pre-approved by, you know, his family and his family friends back in Delhi. So she's also in the mix, so it makes it pretty complicated. So this one here is a lighter weight book. It's not fluffy though. It's a comedy of manners and lots of errors, lots of setups around that sort of cultural and the class clash between the haves and the have-nots. Well, it's more like the always haves, the recently haves, and then the have-nots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd really recommend this one for people who enjoy the Crazy Rich Asians series by Kevin Kwan. Yeah, it's got that similar kind of peek into that, the high life and all the machinations and social climbing and gossip of the wealthy, but in a New Delhi setting. I think that one was set in Singapore, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. Mm.
And there's a brand new one from Diksha Basu as well, and that's called Destination Wedding, and that looks on a similar vein. So if you want a newer read by this one, 2020 Destination Wedding is another one you could pick up.
That sounds great.
Mm. And also on my TBR is a recent release, a 2020 release, which is called Gin Patrol on the Purple Line by Deepa Anapada. Now, not gin and tonic.
Yes.
This is D-J-I-N-N. So we're talking sort of spirits who can inhabit the bodies of animals.
Oh.
Yeah, so could be working for good or for evil. Yeah, so Gin Patrol on the Purple Line was published this year. It's available in our adult fiction collection and on Overdrive and also large print. And I think, Alison, that I actually heard about this one from you. Am I right?
Yes, you did, actually. And because the funny thing is it's also on my to-be-read list as well. So we're sort of, what's the word, mutually something.
We're syncing up, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's going to be on our top 100, I do believe.
Oh, yes. that's a nice little sneak peek preview.
Yes.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Well, I swooped on this because I had heard it from you, and I spotted it on the new and recently released display at the Central Library, which is always a great place to stop whenever you go to any of our libraries. It's a debut novel. Deepa Anapada is a journalist and a writer who grew up in Kerala and is now based in the UK. And her writing often looks at the impacts of poverty and violence on children's education, particularly in India. Now, this story is actually based on many true stories of the children who go missing in such shockingly high numbers every day in India's big cities in particular. I didn't realise this, but apparently high estimates are that as many as 180 children go missing per day in India.
Terrible, isn't it?
Incredible, yeah. Isn't it? It's really hard to believe how that can be, but you might remember the movie and the book Lion by Saru Briley.
Yes.
Which was very big a few years ago now, and that also looked at this issue. So if you've always wanted to know a bit more about how it is that kids disappearing without a trace and without causing much of a stir in India, this might be a good place to start, looking into that a bit more. Now, the main character of Jim Patrol on the Purple Line is 9-year-old Jai. So this book's all from Jai's perspective, or almost all from Jai's perspective. He's a young boy who's a really big fan of reality TV, and particularly those sort of Police 10/7 cop shows. And when a boy from his class goes missing, he decides that he's got the skills to find him. So he grabs his mates and they help him out. One of his mates has decided that it's a djinn who maybe could be the ones who are stealing those children who stray. Mm. So because it's from a child's perspective, you know, you're getting that sort of children's view on how these things might be happening. Of course, we find out a bit more about how it's actually happening from the other side too. So this one's been described as really evocative. It's charming because it is from the kids' perspective, but it's also very heartbreaking. Like some of the books we've talked about before, it's got a really strong sense of place and setting. So it will whisk all your senses away to metropolitan India. Mm. He lives in a little tin-roofed shack, close, you know, cheek by jowl with neighbours. And so do many of the kids in his class as well.
Yeah. That it does look really good, doesn't it? So that's one that I think it does come highly recommended.
Yes, so it's had a lot of buzz, particularly in the UK.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I can't wait to read that, actually. So I've kind of got a TBR. Well, it's sort of half and half because I started reading it yesterday. And this is a young adult novel, and it's called Born Confused. And it's by Tanucha Desai Hedie. And it's about a young Indian-American woman who's growing up in New Jersey in the United States. And this is another one. It was actually published nearly 20 years ago, but I must be showing my age today, but it still is relevant today, I would say. And it's a really important book because it's the first American teen novel that was ever published that had a female Indian teen protagonist, and which I reckon that shocked me, actually, that it took up until 2000 for this to occur.
It says a lot about the publishing industry, doesn't it?
I guess it does, yes. And I'm just thinking this year nothing surprises me anymore. Really,
I know, it's a slow ship to turn, it seems.
Yeah, but when you think about, we were just talking earlier about the high population of people from India who live in New Jersey.
Yes,
Yeah, why did it take so long before we could get a teen
really fascinating
protagonist? But anyway, so Born Confused, and it's autobiographical fiction, and it's another example of the author writing a book that she wished she could have read when she was growing up.
So, yeah.
And I find that quite touching, actually. Yeah, that makes me a bit sad. But it tells the story of a 17-year-old, a young woman called Dimple, and she's an outsider in America because she's from an immigrant family of colour, go figure. And but also, when the family travel back home to India, she doesn't fit in there because she's too American.
It's a common story, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
First or second generation immigrants.
And where you're caught between two cultures, but you're not enough. It's that whole thing about I'm not enough.
Yes, that was a big part of that Afakasi woman as well.
Yes.
They only went young. She went into that in a bit of detail too.
Yeah, yes. It's a really strong theme that comes through, I think, particularly in these coming-of-age novels.
Mm.
It's very, very good. And I'm sure many of our listeners will recognise parts of them, of their own stories in this. So, I would say this is a must for any school library.
Well, it sounds really, really good.
It has been reprinted, so, you'd get hold of it if you needed to.
Oh, nice. Mm. And it's all available in a few formats.
That's right.
Through the library.
And, hardback, etc. Yes.
Awesome. Well, it's quite funny that's on your list. Also on my to-be-read list is a YA novel. So my one's another YA novel, and it's also set in Jersey City. So,
interesting.
Yeah, but this one's set about 15 years after, so this would be quite interesting to read the two together. You can see maybe how life might have changed for, say, the first and then the second generation Indian immigrants to that area, to that region. Mm. Yeah. So my next one is called My So-Called Bollywood Life by Nisha Sharma. It was published in 2018, and you'll find it in Teen Fiction and also as an ebook. So lots of options there. Now, 18-year-old Winnie Mehta is a Bollywood film fanatic. She's running a blog, and it's dedicated to reviewing her favourite Bollywood films. And she's really keen to go to film school in New York, and she wants to make her own movies. But based on her fortune teller's prediction from when she was younger, she's actually expecting that fate will mean that she marries her high school boyfriend Raj and lives happily or otherwise ever after. But actually fate takes a turn, and she gets thrown into a big spin personally and then professionally as well, because he's also a big film buff, and I think he manages to get some sort of advantage over her. Mm. In their studies, so she kind of uses it as a chance to reassess her life, and it ends up opening her up to lots of new opportunities. So she ends up trying to make her mark in movies in her own hometown, and she starts checking out the rest of the local talent now that she's ditched the high school boyfriend.
Oh, good on her.
Yeah. So I've only had a really quick flick through this, but it looks like a really fun, romantic teen read. I do really love reading about teenagers' overwhelming obsessions. I mean, there's no other time in life when you can really indulge them as much as then.
So true, isn't it?
Yeah. Really takes me back when I read books like that to my own teen obsessions, which were mainly around British music and floppy-haired indie boys with the guitars. Little bit of Art Nouveau in the mix. I don't know. I got all into art history at one point. And then, of course, some, hot in the 90s Hollywood hunks who probably disgraced themselves in the last couple of years. Yeah, as well. But, times like these, maybe a bit of teenage fun and romance is just what you need for a bit of escapism, let that warm light guide your way.
Yes. Oh, it just sounds exactly what we need for the Diwali 2020.
Bit of fun.
Now, look, as a hot tip, as we were saying earlier, the Auckland Diwali Festival is running until November, I think.
14th,
that's right. And there's over 100 events and activities, including a few in our libraries. So, we've got heaps of Diwali-inspired reads on our website. So if you check out the Overdrive Libby e-book section of the Auckland Library website, you'll see that our amazing colleague Andrea has created lots and lots of really good lists, book lists. So
awesome.
You've got everything from fiction to non-fiction cookbooks and more. She's a real machine, actually.
She is.
Yeah, she's great.
Amazing.
So, look, thanks to our listeners for tuning in today. Take care and be kind to yourselves, and enjoy this lovely time of year with lots of light. Until next time, Fur Malinge.
See you again.
Namaste. And haere rā ka kite ao. This program was brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35pm on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/booksandbeyond. Every day, every day.